You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's D-Mac along with Nikki Jabala from The Athletic. Nikki, what's new there at The Athletic? What's going on with you guys these days?
We're living the dream. It's a good time. You know, you got Nuggets playoffs.
Yes.
Avs playoffs.
Yes.
We recently celebrated our one-year anniversary for
yes,
The Athletic.
Yes, congratulations.
Denver. Thank you. It's been good. It's a great website. You should really check it out if you get a chance.
We will do so. We will do so. We do have a little bit of breaking news. Then we'll get to Game of Thrones here in a second. But in the world of young people making dramatic announcements about everything they do, we present Zion Williamson, who has made an announcement about his future. And it's a video that has highlights and mood lighting and, you know, it could have been, you know, pretty simple. But it is quite the production. So here, I know everybody's on the edge of their seat with what Zion is going to do. Here it is.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for making this season a dream for me. I want to thank God, Coach K, the assistant coaches, my family, my teammates, and all the friends I made it through. Thank you for making this year the best year of my life. I don't think I can put it into words on how special this year was. The brotherhood is incredible. Just being out there in Cameron, everything about this team was special. And learning from Coach K was special. He taught me so much about the game of basketball in one year that, you know, it made me sit back and go, wow, like, I didn't know anything. The only thing, my mom, you know, my mom has been there since day one. She's taught me everything. Without her, I wouldn't be in this situation. She sacrificed so much for me to be here. I just want to say I love you, Mom. Growing up as a kid in Florence, South Carolina,
how long
I never
is this?
Thought I would have the opportunity to play at Duke and play for Coach K.
Let him okay, forget it. I've heard it. Thank you.
So
enough,
I will
enough.
Pursue my next dream and declare the 2019 NBA draft. Thank you, Duke. This has been the best year of my life.
Okay.
I just want to say thank you.
All right.
Shocker.
Best year of his life.
Never heard a more long-winded announcement.
Oh my Lord.
Like he's gonna get to it now. Nope, now.
And by the way, the longest year of your life, it's April. School started in August. What's he talking about? How many classes was Zion taking in the spring semester?
It doesn't matter. He's gonna be a multimillionaire.
No, I get it, but jeez.
I just can't believe Zion Williamson is declaring for the NBA draft after 1 year. Oh my goodness.
I am amazed.
What a thunk.
It's incredible. I hear there were tears at ESPN because they have no idea what they're going to do for programming next winter.
What do you do with all the Zion kids? Or was that CBS? I don't know which one it was.
It was, you know, I think they had established permanent residence at Cameron. Well, good luck to Zion Williamson. In the NBA, Zion Williamson will be...
A New York Knick.
I'm sorry, what?
He's going to be a New York Knick.
A New York Knick. But what kind of player is he going to be in the NBA?
A really good one.
Compare him to...
He's the closest thing I've seen to LeBron coming into
He's LeBron league. James.
I didn't say he's LeBron James. I said he's the closest thing I've seen. Just, can he live up to the hype like LeBron did?
Did you see the... 60 Minutes piece on the Golden State Warriors last night?
I did not. I missed that.
I saw it. I think those guys might hate each other.
What gave it away? I mean...
Holy cow. You got to see this in terms of their...
Was Draymond Green front and center in a lot of this?
He wasn't invited for the sit-down.
Oof.
It was Kevin Durant.
There it is.
It was Durant Iguodala. Oh, my God. Who is the other guy? And somebody, another throwaway guy, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And they're, first of all, apparently Steph Curry is late for everything. So this interview happened after practice. It's five of them sitting there, the whole setup, and everybody is waiting for Steph Curry to just, you know, wander over. Start there.
Yikes.
The body language was brutal. When you see Kevin Durant sitting next to Steph Curry... Curry's like, his kind of posture slid over, kind of away from Kevin Durant.
Well, they know what this is. It's not like they're really thrilled to be there, I would imagine.
Durant has his, like, you know, his, like, arms, like, on his knees, just like...
Durant hates everybody, especially...
Man.
Durant's an odd one to me because, you know, he's kind of done a complete 180 since he started his career, but this whole issue with media, and obviously I'm biased. This is my profession. I take it very seriously. But you knew this was an obligation of yours when you signed an NBA contract. So to just brush off the media or to insult them or degrade them is just stupid. It's stupid. If you don't want to have to deal with the media, go play pickup basketball somewhere. It's silly.
We'll see what happens with the Warriors. I mean, they look great ultimately in game one of their series. And you know, they're an incredible team. And I'm not really sure how they lose. But
yeah, I think this is it
for them because it's not good.
It's a fall of Rome right here.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's just too long for them all to be together. Yeah. They're making a big move over to San Francisco where the owners are sinking $1 billion. $1 billion. $1 billion into the arena.
Be something. It all falls apart just as they move into this massive arena.
Yeah, we'll feel awful for them if that's the case. How sad would that be?
So sad.
The Warriors are terrible. After spending $1 billion. It doesn't matter, though, because the arena has already been sold out for like 10 straight years or something. I mean, they already have promises that that place will be packed. But you never know.
Where does KD end up?
Is there a world the Nuggets can beat the Warriors this year?
I don't see it. I just think they're really freaking good.
What was that we saw?
Harris rising up and got the finger roll. Gets it back out to Barton. They just call him Thrill, his teammates do. Barton contorting his body for a spectacular layup. Beasley inside, put his head down, and one.
Murray, there it is.
In the paint. Good contest by White. And Murray took it back, and one. Wow.
What happened to the Nuggets?
Implosion.
Why?
I think there's an intimidation factor when you play the Warriors.
That's the Warriors. They're playing the Spurs on Saturday night.
No, that, yeah. But I'm just saying, I'm thinking about the first question that you asked.
Could they possibly beat the Warriors?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess I should slow my roll. Yeah, it's the Spurs.
Against the Spurs. It just didn't look like they were on the same page at all. You know, that final series was just, what the heck? You know?
Which part of the final series? The can't dribble the ball up the court or the final
shot? No, where Derek Williams steals the ball and...
Derek White?
Derek White, sorry. I'm all over the place.
It's okay.
It's just...
All right. Do you think they'll come back and beat the Spurs? Do you think they have what it takes?
I see them winning in 7. So, yes.
Seven?
Yeah.
I think they're going to sweep the rest of the way.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
I think they're just going to bounce back and bounce back in a big way. I don't even know if game 2 is going to be close at all. And they're just going to take that momentum. I think they're just better than the Spurs. I think they played one of their worst games they did all year, and we're still right there.
Yeah.
They were able to come back as they've been able to do. I think there probably was a little confusion as to who touches the ball in that spot. It clearly should be Jokic, not Murray. But I'm okay with Murray being in that spot. But you need a basket. You need 2 points to win the game. There's not a lot to think about.
Yeah.
You know, you get the ball to Jokic and let him just do whatever he's going to do. And what's
he got a great look. You know, it was a great shot.
But he was wide open.
Yeah.
You don't get better looks than that. But he's taking the shot with, like, you know, 6-7 seconds to go. I mean, there'd been ample opportunity. You just didn't need to do that then.
Yeah.
And, you know, you use Jokic. He probably drives the ball in close and then probably puts it in.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that shot? Very rarely in the NBA does it seem like you practice like 18-foot jump shots anymore. 18-foot jump shots are probably a lot more difficult than we all think.
Yeah.
Because for every 18-foot jump shot, you're probably hucking up another 100 three-pointers compared to that 18-foot jump shot.
It's a less efficient shot.
In fact, when exactly would Jamal Murray practice 18-foot jump shots?
Well, from what Nick Kostmeier said, he said he was back on the floor immediately after that game throwing up jumpers.
Well, yeah, because he probably has to reacquaint himself with 18-foot jump shots. You know, it's just a weird spot in the floor to be at.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine. All the Nuggets worry. They're going to be fine. They're going to be okay. They're going to... There it is. I'm putting it out there. They're going to sweep the rest of the series. They win in five. They're just so much better than the Spurs. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, that's why the loss was pretty mind-numbing.
Yeah, okay. It's done.
Yeah.
That's over. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What was more just awesome was what was going on with the Avalanche.
Head-to-head pass, ranging it. Feature to head, McKinnon racing and shoots and scores! Nathan McKinnon! And the Avs will return to Denver with the series all tied up.
And they get Cale Makar tonight. What an amazing story this is. The Hobey Baker Award winner. The defenseman, the offensive defenseman from UMass, watching his highlights, Nikki, is something else. It's hard to tell he's a defenseman, to be quite honest with you.
The speed.
The speed is unbelievable. The scoring ability is incredible. And he's going to actually play. Do you like that rule or not? Do you like that sort of system where you can retain rights and go to college and then become eligible?
Yeah, I think it's great for the player. I like it. It's always odd when a guy makes his debut in the middle of the playoffs, but...
You know, it's interesting, because in baseball, you can be drafted out of high school, tons of guys are, but as soon as they go to college, you lose their rights.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure how the NHL came up with this, but it's pretty cool, because instead of playing minor league hockey in some crap hole place... They are actually giving their future players an opportunity, if they choose not to go to the NHL right away, to actually get an education. Yeah.
It's ideal for the players. It really is. It's just not feasible in many of the other sports.
And in all honesty, there are very, very few players who are really ready for the NHL at 18, 19 years of age. So if you've got to spend a couple of years developing, why not go get an education and have an experience? So I love it. It is a beyond quirky situation where in baseball you can be drafted and then just say forget it and then you go back into the draft again. However, the consequence for it is pretty severe.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, you have to be out for 3 years.
It seems like it wouldn't benefit the team, but then you have a situation like this where this guy is having such an incredible run over recent weeks and now he... comes and he joins the Avalanche in the middle of their playoffs. Think about what that does for, you know, just popularity of the franchise right now, just the interest level.
I think
that's huge.
It's already huge, and I think it skyrockets it. I think it just leaps up a huge new degree. KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver is The Drive. It's D-Mac with Nikki Javala. But what was getting everybody's attention over this weekend was Tiger Woods.
They roar for Tiger, but here it is. Woods has 2 feet to win the Masters. Everyone quiets down. Tiger, back behind the ball. Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion! One of the great comeback stories in American sports history. Masters number 5, Major number 15, and Augusta National roars like never before.
Mike Tirico on Westwood One. You were saying you were at a Starbucks watching that, right?
Yep. It was funny. I was at a Starbucks because I was working. I was talking to Brandon about his experience at the
Brandon
Masters.
Brandon McManus.
Yes. And then I wrote the story on it right after. So I was trying to watch while doing all this. So I was sitting at one of the tables, and of course, you know, every now and then somebody comes over and just looks over my shoulder to check the score and see where Tiger is. So it's cool. Yeah, goosebumps.
Where do you think this ranks just in terms of sports stories?
Oh, it's huge.
I want to put it out there.
It's got to be one of the greatest comebacks of all time.
303-713-1043. 303-713-1043. Where were you, and did it mean anything special to you when you were watching it? I do wonder, in terms of society, did it have some sort of deeper impact than just a simple sports story? What do you think the best elements of the comeback are for Tiger?
The end. You know, where he embraced his son. I just love the fact, I mean, his son wasn't even born the last time he won. His son finally got to see him win in such dramatic fashion, too. I just, the bond there, I just can't even imagine. That was great.
Have you... maybe forgiven is too strong. Where are Tiger's past discretions in your mind in terms of who he is to you as a fan?
Oh, I'll always associate him with those, with the, you know, cheating on his wife and the DUI, always. But I'm not here to morally judge an athlete. I think what he's done as an athlete is remarkable. Anything else, like... I'm not here to judge him as a human being. I still think a lot of what he did was incredibly wrong. Should he get a second chance? Sure.
Is there one thing that... the cheating on the wife thing. Because at the end of the day...
Let me tell you about my experience when this whole story came down.
Okay.
I was working at Sports Illustrated at the time. And it was my first day. I was on the production side, so I did a lot of stuff on the website. And this was the first day they had me running the homepage. And you think about the number of viewers that come to the site. I was in charge of what goes up on the homepage. The layout, everything, what sort of stories to promote, etc. This story drops. I'm freaking out. And it just grows bigger and bigger and bigger by the hour. And then you hear about more and more coming out. I mean, that whole year, it was living in New York. You'd get all the New York Post covers. They had a field day with this story.
The New York Post had more covers of Tiger Woods and his affair than they did about 9/11.
There was some unbelievable ones. Tiger falls on his sword. It was wild. It was a wild story. I mean, every new detail that came out, you know, the sleeping pills, how many women. It was weird.
You know what's funny? I think the amount of women is breathtaking.
The New York Post had a Tiger Woods mistress calendar.
But you know what it really was at the end of the day? All that stuff. It was cheating on your wife. It was bad. But it was...
Well, yeah, the DUI, too, later on.
The DUI was later on. But just particular with the cheating on the wife. The DUI was just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking? We're talking about the I cheated on my wife press conference.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
That was weird. That was cringeworthy. But yeah, I mean, it was just weird. It was just weird. I mean, it was weird because... it completely contradicted everything you thought and knew about Tiger Woods, right?
We wanted to not make him human.
Right.
He was living in this different world.
Right.
And you know what yesterday really felt like? He really was human.
Yeah.
And it was such an amazing moment, not only with his son embracing him.
Exactly.
Which was amazing. And his mom. And his girlfriend, Erica. And his daughter, Sam. But the amount of respect paid to him towards his fellow golfers.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And let's face it, all these guys got rich because of Tiger Woods. It was Tiger Woods whose popularity shot golf through the roof. It's Tiger Woods who, and he did it yesterday. Best ratings they've had in like 34 years. It's Tiger Woods that created millions of dollars in opportunity where it might not have existed.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very proper that they lined up to congratulate him and wanted to be part of that moment. But I think what made it so special is that he did come across as human.
Yeah.
Like, he's balding. You know, he's still in great shape. His teeth are uber bright and super big, and but he's got frailties.
Well, there was a point he never thought he'd be able to do this again with the severity of his back injuries.
Let's talk to some folks. Jeff, you're on the Fan. What do you think, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Super. What's happening?
Hey, you know, I think Tiger Woods is number one as far as comebacks. I mean, I know there's Muhammad Ali and even, I mean, shoot, you can even say John Elway, not really a comeback, but I mean, the 2 years, the two rings, I mean, that was pretty awesome. I love that. But Tiger, I've been watching Tiger Woods since he was on Johnny Carson, when he was just a kid, and Johnny Carson had him hit a putt and he walked up and dropped the ball in the hole. You know, he just missed a putt and he walked up and dropped. I don't know. He was like 4 or 5 years old with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it was just awesome. I loved it. I couldn't, I was like you. I didn't fall apart like you, but you know, I was super
Dude,
happy.
Oh, come on. You didn't have a tear. You didn't have a tear.
I didn't, you know, maybe I choked back one tear, but you know, I was so happy for him and I was so, you know, yeah, when he was hugging his son and his mom and his daughter. Yeah. You know, it was, you know, I'm getting choked up right now, really. But, you know, I thought it was awesome. I love Tiger Woods. My brother, he can't stand Tiger Woods, my older brother.
Why?
I don't know why. He's just a Tiger Woods hater. And I've always been a Tiger Woods lover. I love the guy. I think he's awesome. He's the greatest athlete. I love golf. And I remember going to see Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer when I was a kid. And, you know, those were my dad's heroes. And Tiger came up. I was like, man, I you know, this guy is the best in the world. And if he wins just a few more, he will be the best. You know, a few more majors, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jack Nicklaus might be number two.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, if he can play at this level, Nikki, at 43 years of age, it's reasonable, in my mind, to have 8 to 10 years left. And I thought it was done. Yeah. Like, I didn't think there was any opportunity left. He's got Jack's total majors. He actually is one away from the all-time championships, or just, you know, overall wins at 82.
Well, that's what's interesting to me, is he comes back, he wins this, and it's not like he's one final one, and now he's going out for good. Like, this is a game changer.
No, this could be the start of a
second wind.
Could be unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you think of Jack Nicklaus, who, you know, I mean, those athletes of yesterday just weren't in the same physical shape as these guys of today. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to assume if Tiger could play like he did and knows how to balance his body out, he could be in this position many times,
mm-hmm.
especially at the Masters.
Yep.
Christine, you're on the Fan. Hi, Christine.
Hi, D-Mac. Hi, Nikki. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, no, I was just talking about the same thing that guy was talking about. I remember when he was just 4 or 5 years old on Johnny Carson. Nikki, you're a little young for that, but I mean, we're a golfing family, and I feel like I've grown up with the guy, you know? I mean, we saw the commercial where they had the little bitty bag of golf clubs, you know, for his first kid, and then also, I mean, that, like Nikki said, that press conference when he cheated on Ellen was just awful. And I never thought I'd see this again.
Do you care about that stuff now or not?
I care in that he went through it and he's human like the rest of us, and he's made some colossal, horribly public mistakes, and he's kind of come through on the other side, and he got his feet back on the ground, and he just freaking won the Masters. I mean, he's back. I'm choking up right now. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate it.
The message is fantastic. He did some awful things. You can debate, you know, the degree of awfulness, but it was very public, and he went through some things, and he came back and won. I mean, what's a better message for anybody?
Yeah, and he needs to, you know, repair the damage he's done, you know, with his family and his kids, and that has to be a priority. I don't know what his personal life is these days in terms of that. I think it's tough on kids, period, when their parents go through, you know, a divorce, period. But then when it's so absurdly public, you know, that's a realm where most kids just, you know, have no clue about. Nor should they. I mean, nobody really deserves anything like that. So I think that takes probably a lifetime to repair that sort of thing.
I would imagine it would have been much harder for kids who are older, you know, as kids were.
Maybe. Good point.
But they'll learn about it at some point, you know.
Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, you're on the fan. What's up, Chris?
How you guys doing?
Super. What's up?
So, first of all, not a golf fan at all. Never really watched golf. And I'm younger, so I don't remember any time of, like,
being. How old are you? Just out of curiosity. How are you, Chris?
28.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, I always knew, but, like, never got to really see it. And even on this Sunday, I was working, didn't get to see it, but I sat in my car for like 2 hours, just like couldn't leave the radio to know what was going on.
You listen to it on the radio? Right here on the fan, yeah, which I appreciate, yeah. But.
So, and I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm back in 1924 listening to like a baseball game. Like, oh my God. And I'm calling my friends like, what's happening now? What's going on? Like, I don't know, man. I gotta go. Like, but
all right,
yeah,
well, let me ask you this, because this is interesting. You're 28, meaning Tiger Woods won his last major when you were 17. Why do you care about Tiger Woods?
I have no idea, but I can tell you that I was really into, like, this last couple of years, just watching him getting closer and closer each time. It's just drawn me in, and I've been watching ever like last 3 years. And I just, but when he was great, I didn't get to see it, like, you know, 2005, 2000, any of those times. I just wasn't really into it or care. So now it's just ready to, you know, watch him come back.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Now that's interesting.
I'm kind of similar. I'm not a huge golf fan. I didn't watch really any of it when he was out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was enraptured yesterday. It was amazing.
Now,
we had a family text messages about it, too. It's great.
My dad hates Tiger Woods. He's just never liked him. And I've loved
him. As a golfer, as a human.
He's just never been a big fan. And so when it all melted down, it was kind of like, I told you so. He just isn't. But my dad's a huge golfer. And we have spent a lot of time together playing golf, which I feel very lucky to have spent that time with my dad doing. My dad's now 83 years old. You would think at this point I'd be able to beat my dad in golf. And he proved to me a couple summers ago, Nikki, that my game isn't where it should be because I can't beat an 80-year-old playing golf. He doesn't hit it long, but he hits it straight, and then he just putts everything. It's crazy. It's so frustrating not to be able to beat my dad in golf. When you're like 100 yards further than him off the tee every single time. But I love my dad. He just can't stand him. I've always loved Tiger Woods. And I go, I mean, yes, I've seen all the TV clips, but I remember watching Tiger as an amateur. He won 3 amateurs, and I was along for the ride. My wife and I lived in Buffalo while we were dating and then engaged and then married, lived in Buffalo. And there was one time that he was playing at the Canadian Open. And it was within an hour and a half or so of Buffalo, Oakville, Ontario, something like that. And the forecast was brutal rain the entire day. And we only had one day that would have made sense for us to drive up there to see him. And we were only going up there for one reason, to see Tiger Woods. And it was pouring rain from the moment we got in our car to the moment we got there. And we stood there with umbrellas, and we watched Tiger Woods walk from the clubhouse to the courtesy car and leave. And that's the closest I've ever been to seeing Tiger Woods do anything. But you know what? It was crazy. We even that small little glimpse on something completely meaningless was pretty cool.
So he's one of those athletes who still, I mean, you're around professional athletes almost all the time. He's still one where if you were to see him, you would get a little starstruck.
Way starstruck.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, it would be, if I was interviewing, I'd be fine. Yeah. But just to sort of meet him, I can't even imagine. But what's kind of reassuring to me is just to see how he gets along with his other golfers, his mm-hmm. other, you know, other people. And I would like to think it'd be cool to sit down, and I think he's unbelievably competitive. Like,
he'd have to be to make it.
Yes,
to this level.
I think there's a reason why he and Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley are all such good friends. I think you saw that emotional explosion from him was where he really is in terms of how competitive his juices really flow. Which I love. How do you not love that?
It brings an energy to the game that's just, you know, again, I haven't watched a ton of golf, but I watched him.
Can I tell you the one reason I was so turned off by Case Keenum? Is because I just never saw, did this guy care?
Right.
I'm
sure he did, but he didn't bring that kind of energy.
Sure. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did in his own way. But.
Well, do you expect Joe Flacco to bring that?
No, I'm going to hate that about Joe Flacco. I already know I'm going to hate that about Joe Flacco. I've been around Joe a bunch of times already. I know it's not, I don't know, he's speaking, you can prove me wrong. And it's not just, you can say anything in a press conference, it doesn't really matter. Let me see how you take it out on the field. I think it's the number one reason we couldn't stand, at the end of the day, Jay Cutler. I think it's why Kyle Orton drove me nuts.
Well, Cutler took it to an extreme. He was on the opposite end of the spectrum there.
Yeah, how could you possibly? Now, I like funny, you know, Jay Cutler's never sucked more than he sucked Kristen Cavallari.
I love that show. That show is freaking hysterical.
Right, because he can play a bitter, sort of.
I can finally relate to him now.
Blue-collar slob. So that's fine. That's a funny TV character. But that is just not a guy you want to pull for.
Yeah.
No, I love the way Peyton Manning competed.
Yeah.
I think maybe people
think about the greats in all the sports. They all had that sort of fire, that energy. Michael Jordan, Kobe, Peyton, and they all had it.
Yeah, that's why I love Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. There was something about him that just didn't want to lose.
Yeah, steroids.
Okay, fine. Who else was on steroids? Let's see.
Everybody. But
like when they vacated his titles, they didn't give it to second, third, fourth, fifth place because they were all cheating.
Yeah, but he was just also not a great person either.
I agree. I mean,
have you read some of these stories?
I agree.
Unbelievable.
He definitely was not a great person.
Yeah.
Was Tiger Woods a great person? Was Michael Jordan a great person?
No. From what you've read. Again,
Michael Jordan,
I don't know these people.
Michael Jordan cheated on his wife, Juanita, multiple times. It led to a divorce. He wasn't really all that around for his kids at certain points. Michael Jordan's not like a great person like that.
Yeah.
It makes it tough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how much do we care about that stuff?
Yeah.
What you would like to think is that Tiger Woods is a great person now.
I would like to think
that.
Changed.
You would like to think that, wouldn't you? You would be disappointed if that's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what everybody's rooting for. I think everybody is rooting for their heroes to also be great people.
Absolutely. Who roots for a guy wanting him to, like, fail in life away from the court or the green or wherever? Nobody roots for that. That's not a fun story.
No. And part of it is that people just don't. Technology and society has just changed dramatically where things are more out there.
Can you imagine I always wondered this. What would it have been like for Michael Jordan if there was Twitter when he played?
It would have been brutal. He was cheating on his wife and he was a gambling addict. How would that have looked?
Yeah.
Not good.
Would he be remembered in the same way he is today as the greatest basketball player, if not one or two,
if he had all that? The epic nature of Tiger's cheating is just that. It's epic. But at the end of the day, it is just cheating on your wife. I'm not forgiving it. I'm not saying
just cheating on.
Let me rephrase it.
Okay.
It's bad. A lot of guys, a lot of women, a lot of people cheat on their spouse. Tiger's hardly the first person.
Yeah, it still doesn't make it okay. But again, like we were saying earlier, how do you separate those? You know, you're not judging the person, you're judging the athlete.
Do you like
right?
Michael Jackson?
Oh, that's a hard one for me. I like his music.
I can't separate it. I don't like Michael Jackson anymore. I would get sick to my stomach.
Can you separate? You said you like Lance Armstrong.
Maybe the degree of the crime, I suppose, or the degree of the malfeasance.
Yeah.
I do not like Michael Jackson. Yeah. It makes me sick to my stomach to hear a Michael Jackson song. I do believe the guys, and I saw the documentary. I actually do believe them. I can't get over it.
The details from that were just horrid.
I cannot get over it. Period.
Yeah.
But Tiger, it's cheating. It's not good. It's not good.
But again, here we are determining the degree of bad, basically. Making a judgment based on that.
But I think he's been given this un-freaking believable second chance.
Yeah.
This, ridiculous second chance.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't let everybody down again. I really hope so.
I just hope for the game he continues to win because it's just so much more fun to watch it with him.
What I would love, Nikki, seriously, is for him to just keep doing what he's doing on the golf course, and I hope I don't hear one personal detail about him ever again. I want to think he's a great dad. He certainly looked like a great dad yesterday with the way his kids embraced him, and I think it's awesome his mom is still around. It's sad that his dad has passed away many years, so I just look at how the other players, I'll give you this. There's no way other cyclists would be giving Lance Armstrong big pats on the back anytime soon for any particular reason.
Absolutely not. It's a fair point.
Is Tiger Woods, could he become the greatest American athlete ever? Could he, is Tiger Woods right now the most loved athlete in America?
Loved or greatest loved. Athlete?
Mm-mm. Loved. Ratings were through the roof.
Yeah, because they like watching him play. Does that mean they love him
the
personally?
The reaction is insane.
I'm not willing to go there. Could he be one of the greatest athlete? Greatest American athlete? I think that's possible. But is he the most loved?
Who's more loved in America as an athlete than Tiger Woods today? I think he is. I think America loves comebacks. They love second chances. And America loves Tiger Woods. And I sat there with freaking tears rolling down my face watching that yesterday. And Now, I'm not saying everybody loves him. I'm sure my wife didn't watch. She went out to the kitchen or the living room or wherever she went. She did make me breakfast in bed.
Wow.
Which, I can't even think about the last time that happened. It was pretty awesome.
Congratulations.
It was like the perfect day. I'm not going to lie. Did you know the ratings for the replay of the Masters were the third highest watched golf event in the past year? The replay.
Has any single athlete had more of an impact on his sport than Tiger Woods? That's
no way.
Obvious.
There's no way there has been. So what we saw yesterday, whether you were tuned into or not, whether you were getting breakfast in bed, being a lucky guy like me, or you're having your latte. Latte? What do you?
No, I drink black coffee.
Black coffee at Starbucks.
I'm insulted.
Venti
Blonde Roast has the most caffeine.
We were joined together as not only sports fans, but as Americans yesterday. It was just one of those freaking days. This is The Drive on the Fan.
No sleep till!
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Brooklyn! Welcome to Bronco Land.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll have Brandon McManus on with us. Brandon was there at the Masters. He caddied for Zach Johnson during the par 3 tournament and was just there, was just around. So looking forward to talking to Brandon McManus coming up here in a little bit. Nikki Javala in with me today, and we are closer and closer to the draft. As we get closer to the draft, Nikki, where are you leaning in terms of who the Broncos are visiting with, what their needs are, what vibes they're giving off? Where are you leaning towards at that number 10?
I still think they're going to take a defender in the first round. Be it, you know, a defensive lineman, a linebacker if he's available. But I just, with Vic Fangio on board, it just makes sense for them to take a defensive guy in the first round.
So your guy is?
I like Ed Oliver. He's a smaller guy for a defensive lineman, but he's versatile. And we know Vic loves his versatility.
Why does a defensive lineman make sense?
They're thin up front. You know, Vic wants to put his stamp on the defense, I'd imagine.
So is DeMarcus Walker just done then?
He's one of the strangest picks. He's kind of gotten overlooked. Second round pick.
Well, let's talk about who's there then on the D-line.
Yeah.
It's Gotsis, Wolf, Kerr, Harris, Walker.
If Walker sees the field, if he makes the team.
He's on the team right now. I mean, who else are we talking about?
That's about it. I mean, Domata's gone.
Pekka's gone.
Who's the natural nose tackle? Shelby Harris?
Harris and Kerr.
They need depth up there.
They need one guy at least. Yeah, for sure. And they've been looking at people. They've been, they're kind of sniffing around it.
Yep.
Okay. And this is because Devin White's gone, correct?
I just can't see him slipping past Tampa.
So if Devin White is gone, and they still need that position as well, you like Ed Oliver more than Devin Bush?
Yeah.
Okay. I do too, by the way. Because I think there's the difference between Devin Bush and Mack Wilson, who is basically a second-round guy from everything I've seen. The conjecture is that he's a second-round guy. Is not that deep. Yeah. From what I'm understanding, it's not that big of a drop off. However, the drop off from Devin White to everybody else seems to be gargantuan.
Yeah.
All right, Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver to me rings up a couple of red flags.
Why is that?
Well, not because he sat out the bowl game. I don't care about that. But that reaction with the coat thing. Mm-hmm. And the coach, to me, Nikki, like, so if what's this coach's name? Help me out here. It's kind of a old quarterback. Gosh, I'm forgetting. Houston. Or at least he was
Major.
Playing. What's that?
Major Applewhite.
Major Applewhite, correct, at Houston. So they've got this rule that if you're not playing in the game, and Ed Oliver has some injuries too, if you're not playing in a game, you're not allowed to be wearing some sort of jacket on a cold day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how they came up with this idiotic rule.
Seems like a Major Applewhite issue and not necessarily an Ed Oliver issue.
The problem is when you're a coach and you make up some rah-rah rules, and there are a lot.
Does Vic Fangio strike you as somebody who's going to make up a bunch of rah-rah rules? He's as simple as it seems.
I completely agree with you. But that being said, there is something, Nikki, about putting the team over yourself and understanding the concept of what your coach wants to do. And you know what? I'm not going to say Vic Fangio is going to have rah-rah rules, but I bet you he has something.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you there is something.
What's the word you keep hearing from the players? No nonsense.
Okay. Death by inches.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really believe in death by inches, then there may be something or some things that aren't necessarily rah-rah rules, but they're rules, or at least there's some sort of code.
But he certainly wouldn't become the first player who had issues like that in college and did just fine at the NFL.
You're absolutely right. And to me, I'm always willing to give you a second chance. And I think the rule was stupid with the jacket thing. I mean, that made no sense to me. But you know what? It's just one of those things. And to confront the coach the way he did, I'll just write it off that he was a little immature, but it's a red flag. It is a red flag. You talked to Dalton Risner today for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
You heard the interview with us.
Any type of red flags like that strike you?
The dude was a three-time captain in Kansas State.
More articulate than I could ever hope to be.
And he's
yet to secure his full-time job.
Didn't the Broncos make a big deal about certain guys in the draft last year? Now, they almost immediately broke that code by taking on AJ Johnson and Pac-Man Jones. So all that almost like went right down the tank. And, you know, you got to look in the mirror at some of the guys on the coaching staff in terms of their personal behavior in certain aspects to see that it's not the most consistent vibe that was coursing mm-hmm. through the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like to say last year was a great draft, we got a lot of things right, and it does appear like they've got a lot of great guys in last year's draft. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. It makes me nervous about Ed Oliver. That's all.
Okay.
That's all. So at the end of the day, I would like to see the Broncos move back. Because I think they can pick up extra ammo and draft.
Move back and take what kind of player? Lineman or? Ideally, back and take like a Christian Wilkins?
That's still a D lineman. Listen, if you want to just say, hey, listen, this is how we're going to go and this is a position of need, fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but you could trade back and get a quality defensive lineman is why they're saying that, because it's a very deep class.
Cool. Fine. But I know they need that.
Yeah.
Okay? I know they need some weapons for Joe Flacco. So I think they need to have...
Weapons for Mike Munchak.
I know they need offensive line help. And I know they need corner help. They're probably fine at safety. They're probably fine at running. They are fine at running back. And guess what? They're fine at quarterback.
Unless Dwayne Haskins is available.
Well, then, Nikki.
Why are you so sold on Joe Flacco right now?
I'm not. They are.
You just said they're fine at quarterback.
Nikki, if they really.
They never said they are. They also said the same thing about Case Keenum a year ago, and he's gone already. I'm just giving you facts, D-Mac.
I got it. I'll be fine if they do draft a quarterback. I won't yell and scream and throw hissy fits like the dudes in the morning. Because I'll understand why they did it.
It's in the top 10, I'll understand it. Second and third.
Oh, no. Yeah. Second and third is ridiculous. It's preposterous. That would be the dumbest thing they could possibly do. Because they're literally depriving their own team of starting players. We just went through how many position groups are there? We went through like six position groups. So where are they really set? Running back and safety. Like, that's it. Okay. It's all going to be fine. It's going to be fun. Draft is going to be a blast. And I bet you the Broncos kill it. I really do. It's been a whole new... Everything since January has been basically fantastic. Right? Would you agree with me on that?
Yep.
I mean, think about where we were last year around this time in this draft, and it's...
Yeah.
They were on their path. The funny part about the Broncos, they were rebuilding and they didn't even know it.
You could have argued they didn't really know it this season either, but they've gotten... what they were able to do with the cap space they had going into free agency was nothing short of remarkable.
Yeah. When we come back, what a day yesterday at the Masters. What an experience Brandon McManus, the kicker for the Broncos, had as he was there caddying during the par 3 tournament. We'll talk to Brandon next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, this is so cool. And we're so grateful to have Brandon McManus on the phone with us. Brandon, it's D-Mac with Nikki Javala. How are you, Brandon?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Well, dude, you got to tell us what that was like out at Augusta. Maybe I should just start for the beginning if people don't know. How did you end up caddying for Zach Johnson at the par 3 contest?
He doesn't read my work, Brandon, just so you know.
It's a paid subscription for the athletic. Maybe DMX doesn't want to pay for it. So I met Zach through Ben Higgins, actually, the bachelor who lives here in Denver. So I met him through Ben 3 years ago, and I've been going to Zach's charity event out in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, for over the past 3 years. So I asked him about possibly getting Masters tickets. Mm-hmm. So he said he'd give me two. So I obviously asked my father, who's been a huge golf fan his whole life. And then I didn't want to exclude my brother-in-law because he's a huge golfer himself and all that. So I decided I'll have to buy him a ticket for Christmas gifts for the rest of his life. But so that happened. And then so I knew I was going to the Masters and all that was going to happen. But I didn't know about the caddying in the par three until about 2 weeks ago. He had reached out to me and asked if I wanted to do it. And I wasn't sure if he was being serious, but he was. And it's just something that I could have never dreamed about doing. Just like, you know, winning the Super Bowl, this is something growing up as a kid watching golf, you know, being a part of the Masters.
And you got to eat in the champions' locker room. How many non-champions have gotten to eat in the champions' locker room?
I didn't ask him that. My guess is pretty low. I should have asked him that. And I probably would say about zero of them were wearing a caddy outfit. I was all dressed up in my all white caddy outfit when I was eating with them.
Do you drop the fact that you are also a pro athlete here?
Tell them about the ring.
I was wearing the Super Bowl ring.
Oh, well, that helps.
You didn't see the cameras zoom in on it during the telecast?
It was a conversation piece, obviously, for me as well. So I wasn't just listening. But no, we talked. Sergio Garcia was actually in the locker room when Gary, I was looking at the ring and Sergio was checking out. And he said he's, you know, friends with Peyton, has played with Peyton. And Gary asked Sergio, is Peyton a good player? And Sergio said, yes, he's about a one or two handicap. So, but no, it was good. Like I said, it was such a surreal experience to live all that and to be a part of it.
So let's think about this for a second. Brady McManus joins us, who was at the Masters. How old were you 22 years ago when Tiger won for the first time?
I was 6 years old.
Do you... Because I'm going to assume golf has been part of your life even from a young age, and I'm assuming your dad had something to do with that. Do you have early memories of that? Does that stand out to you at all?
1997, I'm not sure if I can remember him winning for the first time. Every single other one, I believe I do. But okay. I've obviously seen the videos of him hugging his dad, you know, when it happened, right, and stuff like that, and photos, but... from my memory bank, I don't think so, but, I've been a huge Tiger fan my whole life. Just, it's somebody who's been at the top, and stayed there and, you know, as the number one player for so long. Just, you know, I admire, that's why I admire Peyton and, you know, all the greats, is because they're able to do it for such a long time. You know, it's a testament to their hard work and, their grit and determination. Wednesday before the par three competition, we walked the whole course kind of to see where we wanted to possibly set up our chairs on Thursday. So Thursday was the only real qualifying round that I was at. But we had our chairs very similar to Michael Phelps, if you saw him.
Yes.
Yes.
16.
Behind Tiger. So that's where we parted up, right on 16th tee there to watch the round. So we walked the course a little bit early Thursday morning. Then once all the big guns were coming through late, we went and sat down in our chairs. But I don't know if you know this, but the Masters is kind of set back in time where, you know, what we do, there's so much crime and theft and everything that goes on nowadays. There, it's so surreal that, you know, people set up chairs in the morning and leave cameras there and do this and that, and they'll come back 2 hours later and it's still there.
So your first trip at Augusta ends up being this historic day in sports, even though you weren't there for the finish, you were there for the start and, you know, got to experience things that most people don't. That's got to be incredibly special to you, right? Just knowing what ended up happening at that tournament.
Well, I don't know if you know, I decided to get rid of my other tickets because once Tiger shot 70, it's what he did the other four times that he's won. I knew he was going to win, so that's why I came back home. Just like I said, it's a memorable experience, and for it to be, you know, this tournament that I was able to be down there for, and a cool thing. Zach Johnson and Tiger Woods are pretty good friends, and so to be part of that. And funny story, obviously, it all went around. It wasn't my caddying, but you know, the miss hit that Zach had on the 13th tee, I think on Friday, where he hit the ball by accident on a practice swing. So it's on the tee box, it does not count. He's able to bring the ball back.
Okay.
He ended up making birdie on the hole. And then, so I was talking to his wife afterwards, and he said the next day, And she told me how Tiger, even after, you know, he went low on Friday, called Zach to give him a bunch of crap about it. And so it just shows Tiger's sense of humility and humor. And, you know, just he was still able to stay in the moment and how calm he was when he was, you know, going for his fifth jacket.
Well, you know, Brandon, we know you have all the ability in the world. We've seen you kick 70-plus yard field goals. Do you hope at some point you do get an opportunity to break the NFL record?
Yeah, I think you do. You know, having the capability to make the kick is why, you know, you want to attempt them. I haven't looked back in the stats. We say I've had a decent amount of 60-yard attempts that unfortunately I haven't made. They wouldn't have broken the record, but that just comes with the nature of the fact that if you're able to make long kicks like myself, you know, they're going to attempt them at certain times. And, you know, that's just something that, I want to continue to work on for myself this year. Is, you know, I didn't, you know, miss any kicks under 50 this year, but I want to be making a much higher percent over 50 and pushing into that 60 range where I'm kicking them at least, you know, 70-75% making. So I would love, obviously, to break the NFL record knowing that I can do it. And, you know, I'm sure everyone else would say that as well. And, you know, hopefully at some point in time, you know, I have that opportunity.
Well, Brandon, you continue to have one of the wildest Forrest Gump-like lives of anybody I know. So congratulations to you. And we're excited for you guys to get back at it. And thank you so much for sharing that story with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Then the next thing is I'm going to try to maybe create like a celebrity home run derby, you know, and
that would be awesome. My
hat in the ring there. Cause,
you know, can you hit one out? Can you hit a ball out in batting practice?
Yeah, I in UC Health, they do a celebrity home run derby. Last year, I was the only former baseball player to hit a home run.
Unbelievable.
I'm hopefully looking to get three. So.
That's awesome.
You got to make that happen. You have to get a home run derby together, Brandon.
All right, Brandon, we got to run, but always great talking to you. We appreciate it, Brandon.
All right, thank you, guys.
There you go. Brandon McManus. Maybe is Forrest Gump bad to compare somebody to Forrest Gump? I just meant like no? I'm not. I'm saying the good qualities of Forrest Gump, just like being part of a bunch of, you know what, never mind. All right, more importantly, the Avalanche tonight with Kale coming in from UMass on the Hobie Baker Award and joining the Avs blue line and all the excitement that's going to be out at Pepsi Center. So we will see the Avs put it to the Calgary Flames. And at least on this show, we like are excited about the Avalanche. Legitimately, like, we're rooting for them on this show. Can't speak about everybody else, but, you know, tune in tomorrow morning. Drive Reloaded comes up next. Let's go, Avs.